This is my home. Get out now.
No, this is not your house. Now, what's your name?
My name is Bill Wilkins, and I'm 72 years old.
What do you make of that voice?
Sounds confused. Do you see that?
The voice on this tape is coming from an 11-year-old girl. They're calling it England's Amityville. There is a family that desperately needs our help.
After everything we've seen, there isn't much that rattles either of us anymore. But this one still haunts me. Does it feel like the voice is coming from inside you?
More like it's coming from behind me. Like I'm being used.
Janet, are you all right?
Stop calling me Janet.
She's such a good girl. What's the wrong with her? An oppressing spirit will try to force you to commit the ultimate sin. And what's that? Murder? Suicide? Or both?
Oh, we got another horror this summer. Another day, another horror film. And I'm here to tell you how I felt about The Conjuring 2. Is there something? Nope, there's nothing. Just called The Conjuring 2. I like that. No semicolon, nothing. No semicolon, Electric Boogaloo. So, basically, we got, what's their names from Conjuring, the first one. Got Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. Return as Lorraine and Ed Warren, and it shows, you know, Lorraine, she's pretty much had that vision of Ed Warren's gonna die in this film. She didn't know who it was at first, but she just saying, hey, you know what, look, why don't we just stay out the game for a little bit, cause there's some strange shit happening. I don't really know what it is, but let's retire from this. And meanwhile, over in jolly old UK, you got Madison Wolf. And at first you think it's the kid that's he's kind of have a speech impediment problem here. And I think that was Billy in the movie, Billy Hodgson, who's played by Benjamin High. And because there's a whole group of them. You got Lauren Esposito as Margaret Hodgson. I've seen her somewhere before. You got the mother, Frances O'Connor, Peggy Hodgson. And they're a fam. She's a single mother. After the dad, her husband walked out on him with the neighbor. That was some fucked up shit. And she's a single mother now of four. Two boys, two girls. And strange shit starts to happen when they bring this fake-ass Ouija board in here. I don't know what it is with little white girls and Ouija boards, but damn, they just love... They found... Because this family's poor and shit, pretty much, yeah, ever since the dad left out on them. And they made some shit where it's like... I don't even know, handmade, cheap-ass, paper, plastic Ouija board. And somehow, that camera lingered on that Ouija board. It didn't move, but that camera said, oh, you want to fuck with ghosts? Okay, we bring you some ghosts up in here. Next day, you know it, strange shit starts happening. Chair starts rocking back and forth. The TV starts changing and stuff like that. It all becomes supernatural to a point where Lorraine and Ed have to travel to North London. Because they start hearing voices. Well, they don't hear voices, but that little girl starts using voices and shit, talking about, my name is Bill. I forgot his last name. Bill Huxtable. I'm about 72 years old. I was watching my stories, and this little white bitch right here, she changed the channel. So now I'm just going to fuck with them all. Now his name is Bill Wilkins, though. That was played by Bob Adrian. And so they take that tape to America. Obviously let Lorraine and Ed hear it. And they're like, whoa, we need to help this family. Lorraine's like, hey, look, if shit gets started to hit the fan, we're going to get the fuck up out of here, okay? We just here to be a voice for the church, be the voice of they voiceless here. And so they travel to good old jolly London and try to help this family out. But what they do in trying to help this family out, the first thing they want to find out is, because they put on notice right now, we need to find out if this shit is real. And are they just making this up before we really get the church involved? Because there's lawsuits to go around and stuff like that. We do not need to be involved with this. So first we need to point them out, see if it's really happening. And there's a lot of strange shit happening too. So, you know, obviously they believe them. They end up stopping the getting together to stop the demon. There you go. That's your plot synopsis. Okay. Everybody knows my stick of horror. I fucking can't stand horror to a backbone degree of third burns and shit like that. I can't stand it. Actually, I fucking hate horror. The only time I like horror is when you mix it with a different genre. Throw some comedy elements in there. Throw drama in there. You know, last year was Krampus. I liked that movie. It had a lot of good comedy moments in there. And plus, I like the ending. The good guys, or if you want, the humans, they lost. Spoiler alert, people. They lost, though. Here, I gotta tell y'all, coming off the first film, which I did not like, I thought it was fucking boring as hell, I like this film a lot. I was actually shocked by this. I took a date to the early screener and stuff like that. We watched it, and we sitting up there, and we was having a jolly good old time. I don't mean use that British term there, but I gotta say, this movie, one thing I really like about it is you don't have to see the, because you didn't see the first one, and I barely fucking remember the first one. I tried to block that movie out of my mind. And what I like about it is you don't have to see that film to enjoy this one or to get what's going on. Another thing I liked about it too, it feels more like a drama than it does a horror, because you really getting to know these characters. I mean, the girl in here that's possessed, or I guess it's kind of a possession or whatever. You can't tell if the house, I know she's not possessed, she's being used as a puppet. You know, there's a puppet master in this, and she's being used as the puppet to, I guess, get a voice across to let people hear. Madison Wolf in here, who plays Janet, the youngest girl, the one you see in the trailer who's with the little red dress and shit like that, or the red sleeping clothes, she does a great job, and you really feel for her. I mean, you really feel for her in the sense that she even says in the movie, I'm fucking tired. I ain't slept in, because every time she goes to sleep, she's either waking up somewhere else, she don't need to be, she's being haunted. I mean, you could tell this girl, she's getting paler every day in this movie that goes by. Her eyes are getting blacker and shit. So the movie did a really good job making me sympathize with this character here. And plus, there's a kid actress too, and she plays 11-year-old in the movie. I don't know how old she is in real life, but I thought she did a great job. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about it now. I think all the acting in here did a great job. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, when they come in, I thought they did a great job as well. What I like with their story when they come in is they add that element of, for the audiences to watch, is like, is this shit real or not? You know, and I thought they did a great job with that. Now, one thing that I like about this horror movie above a lot of the other horror movies is, this ghost don't give a fuck if it's daytime, the evening time, what did they call it? Crumpet time in this motherfucker or whatever. I forgot what that cookie. Instead of fucking calling it cookies, they call it what was it? Cracker, some shit like that. I don't know what it was, but this motherfucker talking about, they treat him like a little pet, one that can't speak and shit like that. He's like, good boy, you said a good thing, here's a crumpet, or whatever the hell that shit was called. They have crumpet time, night time. This ghost don't give a fuck what time it is. He just say, look, I want to fuck with y'all. He even says in the movie, he's just like, I like hearing y'all scream, I like hearing you bleed or whatever. He's like, look, this is my house. He's just a cranky-ass old man. That motherfucker tells you, too. He's 72 years old. And I love it because in the trailer, you see Patrick Wilson says, he sounds confused and senile. Yeah, yeah, because he is confused and senile. This motherfucker looking around talking about, this is my house. I lived here. And I love it because the mother comes in and she's just like, you two are just making up stuff. And you're playing with this Ouija board. You're bringing this crap in here. And I can't get a good night's sleep or whatever. And then that ghost says, bitch, this ain't no goddamn good night of sleep, a Ouija board, whatever the hell you need, whatever. He slides that dresser and slam that door, and the next thing you see is them running out that damn house. I'll tell you, I love it. It had a lot of good funny elements like that. They were like really subtle, and I thought I did a great job of doing that. We later find out in the film that the nun you see in the film, and I guess this was kind of a throwback to The Shining or whatever, where you see the nun in the hallway in the trailer. That's who Vera, she kind of has visions about and stuff like that. And I there is a little problem with that. I gotta come back on that one. But she's the ultimate puppet master of this ghost, Bill Wilkins here. She's using him as a crux, I guess, to I don't know what she her I personally I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what her fucking ultimate goal is here. They never really make it clear what this nun is really trying to do. I guess kill Patrick Wilson or kill this girl. I would have said let the little bitch jump then, because I'm saying if this girl's gonna leave us the fuck alone, and if it takes killing this girl, because I can tell you this right now, P1 will sell your ass out in a heartbeat if it comes to a ghost. Ghost just comes and say, look, I just want her. I'd be like, well, fucking take her then. It could be my daughter, sister, brother, mother, whatever. I'd just be like, if you promise to leave me the fuck alone, you can have that little motherfucker right here. Just take him. And they don't make it clear on that or why this ghost is using Bill Wilkins here. Spirit to I guess keep these people in the house, whatever the hell she plans on doing and stuff. But I like what I like about Bill Wilkins though is just he's just an old man that's just like fucking with people, and just like any other old person shit. Now I do have some complaints of the film. There's a little toy in here, the boy that really can't speak that well. He uses that as a speech pattern to help, you know, sing along. Song patterns and stuff like that. And it's the crooked man in here, which they had a scene where a goddamn dog transformed into the damn crooked man. This shit, I thought it turned into Transformers. I do not think James Wan is a good director. I think for small budget films, he has elements of subtlety that he knows how to do. But when you give that motherfucker money, which this movie has about $50 million, I think, or something like that, which people are like, that's not a lot of money. For a horror film, trust me, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of damn money. Because horror films like this only usually get about $5 million. You're lucky if you can even get $10 million. You have to have a name or a track record to get $10 million. Blumhouse, that's all he makes is fucking horror films, and that motherfucker ain't never got a damn $10 million film. They say, no, your shit's kind of stupid. You're going to get $4 million or less. But James Wan, I do not think, is a good director. When he gets money in his hands, i.e. Fast and Furious 7, he loses his shit to where he just like noises, flashes, and any kind of random shit that goes on. And this movie has a lot of it. My first problem with it, I'm on the Crooked Man, so let me go ahead and finish him. That whole thing of the Crooked Man kind of came out of fucking nowhere. And really, I was trying to wonder what the fuck it was. It has some funny ass moments. I'm not gonna lie. That transforming dog made me laugh my ass off. I was like, wow. So we turned into goddamn. You don't see that dog in the movie neither. I was like, so you fucked that dog over to turn him into some damn Michael Bay stunt effect or something like that. My second problem now is too long. You feel the 2 hours and 14 minutes of this film. The longer it goes on, you want it to hurry up and end. I was enjoying myself. But I gotta tell you, there's a scene in this film, that scene really stopped the good pacing that this film had. And it just made you go, what the fuck is going on now? Actually, you know what? That scene right there made me stop and think, okay, what is the point of this movie now? What was it trying? Oh, and by the way, the ultimate sin of this movie pissing me off too is right off the start of the film, just like all horror movies now seem to do. Based on a true story. This shit ain't real, okay? We know this shit ain't fucking real. You even try to play these damn tapes for me back in 1972 or something like that. This shit ain't real. I don't want to hear this shit. That for me, that's already the ultimate sin. I'm pissed off, but I was having a good time. Until it got to this goddamn scene where Patrick Wilson decides we need to get the family back together because the other kids are staying across the street at the neighbor's house. Which I think personally they should have kept their ass over there. I don't know why you're talking about keep this family together. If I was one of those kids' siblings, I'd be like, the fuck y'all bring me back in this haunted ass house with her? Shit. But he teaches them, hey, this is like a bully. They need to stick up for each other and stuff like that. I kind of like that element about. But then he grabbed that guitar and he started singing his Elvis impersonation. And the family are clapping and cheering and the wife is crying. She's like, I could lose my husband or whatever and stuff like that. And I was thinking something dramatic was going to happen in this scene. But no, it's just him singing. And I was just like, okay, we already at the hour and 20 mark right here. Hour and 30 mark, I mean. We need to wrap this up, B. What the fuck going on here? And from that moment until the end of the film, you can tell that's where James Wan lost his shit with money and just said, fuck subtlety and everything else that's going on. Now, I still think that he had some good moments in his ending and stuff like that. But I think that's more so on the writing part than it is him. Because this dude, he lost his subtlety. All the subtle moments got ruined by noises and flashes and shit. He started having just shadows and shit creep. I mean, he just blew his wad, basically. I mean, he took pretty much everything he learned from Fast and Furious and stuck it in this last, I would say, 25, 30 minutes that you had going on here. I mean, he just said, I don't give a fuck. And I think, personally, he is probably going to be awful for Aquaman. I mean, this dude does not know what to do. I don't think he's a good director at all. I think he has good moments, but I think more so that's on the writing part, because I gotta say the writing in here is pretty damn good for a horror film, I must say. What I was saying earlier, what I like about this ghost is this ghost don't give a damn if you just the haunted girl or not like that. He's fucking with the police when they come in. He's moving chairs. He's like, he's a cranky old man. You can tell too, because they pull a chair to stand on something. That chair goes down the hallway while the police are there and right back into the kitchen. And the only thing I can think of is just like, that chair belongs in the kitchen. You put it back where it belongs. And I love it because the police say, ain't no wires and stuff like that. You know, I love it. And every people's like, oh, it's not real. It's fake and stuff like that. Did you not see that goddamn chair just rolling it? Fake my ass shit. So, you know, I like that the ghosts don't give a damn who's in the room. Because, you know, most ghost movies, he's just opening doors. The kids probably, the haunted kid's doing some weird shit from time to time. And the mother usually finds out that, oh, something's wrong. Takes the father the whole goddamn movie to realize something's wrong. And then next you know, the ghosts just say, okay, now y'all want to do something. Well, now I'm pissed off. I'm about to start murdering motherfuckers. And this movie, I like it. It starts from the beginning. Shit hits the fan. And it just don't stop. It keeps going and going and going. And I'm just like, okay, now you're keeping some good pacing here. You got a good storytelling going here. And you know why I think why I like this movie too is because that drama element really takes in the fact of that. And the horror elements kind of get pushed back. Even though I will say there are some legitimate, I wouldn't say legitimate, but they're jump scares. But I think they're effective jump scares, which I thought I'd never say. And why I think they're effective is because usually in horror movies, they have scenes where, like, you're walking down a dark hallway and stuff like that. And you turn the door and it's just nothing going on there or whatever. You turn your head and this motherfucker, it's either the crooked man, this old man, or a fucking chair rocking back and forth or something. Like, something shit's happening in this movie. So I appreciate the movie for that as well. And I thought personally, I was like, that adds some extra. And I love it because there's a scene where she runs under the covers and stuff. She got the flashlight and you see like the silhouette of someone walking towards her bed and stuff. And you thinking like, oh, the camera's going to cut off. Now that ghost said, bitch, take them covers off. Shit, and just slides them out. That was a good moment. The Stairway from the Horror. There's an interesting camera angle. Kudos to this camera guy. I think when the movie first starts and they want to show you all the rooms in here and on all the kids, the siblings and stuff like that. The camera is like not in POV style, but it's following the back head of the child as they enter rooms and stuff like that. That was a really unique camera angle that they did in this film. There was another moment in the film too where they had another unique camera, but I'm blanking on the name now. The blanking on the scene. Now back on the Demon Nun, I said I had a problem with that earlier. They said the old Vera Farmiga. Comes up though with that, oh, we have to, because she depicts when she goes into the old man, I guess the spirit, I don't know what the fuck this was, spirit world or whatever the fuck it was, she figures out that the old man's trying to warn them, is trying to help them, that he's being puppeted by the original puppet master, which is the nun. He's telling her that her name has power over him, but he's like, why would he tell us that when we don't know his name or her name? I mean. And they're like, well, maybe we do know his name, we just don't know it. And there's a scene earlier in the film where the nun comes to her house, and they have a daughter. And she's like, Mom, the hell is that down the hallway? And that nun is walking. Oh, I remember the scene now. That nun walks in the office where Patrick Wilson drew a painting of this nun. And I love it because she walks in. And she's just like, oh, nothing going on here. I'm going to leave. That nun say, the hell you are going to leave, bitch. I'm haunting your ass right now. I'm about to fucking give you goosebumps right now. But before that, we saw her tearing up her Bible. And we didn't know what it was. And then later in the film, we find out, oh, she wrote her name in it. How the fuck did Lorraine Warren figure out her name in that scene? And she says in the movie, too, oh, she told me her name. And it's like, why the fuck would she tell you her name? If she knows that that has power to stop her, that made no goddamn sense to me. I was like sitting there like, word, really? But back on this scene here, I like this scene though. This scene was some good camera angles in here, and plus it was just a good scene of visually how it stood out too. The nun's shadow closes the door, and they had some barbed on the door as well, so. But, like, the nun's shadow started walking around the room, and it went behind the painting, and you see the fingers hold the painting as if it was using the painting as the head, and you could see the rest of the body. And it just zoomed at Lorraine and shit until her ass fell, and then that fucking nun started laughing. I'd be like, you fucking cunt, you. But it was a really good visual scene, though. I gotta give credit on that one. But overall, I gotta say, other than that last 30 minutes, I think I was having a good time with this. You know, that 30 minutes, it wasn't terrible, but it definitely felt like once that scene kicked in, we played music, it really felt like they were dragging this film along. I think you could have literally cut 30 minutes out of this film. I felt the length of this film was with that, and plus, I just thought it just got messy as well. And a lot of the moments, like I said earlier, it was just ruined by a lot of just flashing and noises. And, you know, once she tells Patrick Wilson the way she dies, it plays around with that foreshadowing stuff as well, too. You know, you see the spear that stabs him in her visions and shit like that. And it just kind of plays off the jump scare of knowing that, like, oh, this is how he dies, something like that. And you're just like, all right, that's kind of fucking weak. I kind of wish she wouldn't have known that it was him throughout this. I thought that last 30 minutes really was just the weakest fucking part of the whole movie. I actually kind of brought the movie down because I was just kind of like, I started yarning, and even my day was like, you tired, huh? And I was like, no, I'm just feeling the length of this. I just want this to hurry up and wrap up because I was enjoying myself and I was having a good time, but this came in and kind of ruined it. So overall, man, I gotta say, I'm kind of shocked by this, especially first of all being James Wan, second of all being a horror film. But I thought it did a good job of what it was trying to do. I think people will have a good time with this. I mean, well, shit, y'all enjoy every fucking horror movie, so I don't see how you would not have a good time with this. You enjoy every goddamn else horror film, so. But no, I think I'm going to venture off into, it's not going to get a C for me just because of that length in that last 30 minutes. Because I was on the board, I was on borderline low C it when before that singing part kicked in. I was like, yep, you just kind of lost the rating there. But I guess I'll just go rent it. I think it's a great rent it. I'm not going to go high rent. I'll just go rent it. I think you'll get some good. I think it'd be better at home, personally. I don't think that 30 minutes probably would feel like a drag if you watch this at home, you know, especially if you got some food and stuff like that. Because they didn't really cater to us in this screen. They just kind of said, fuck it, it's a horror film. You're just going to enjoy. The only reason why we have this goddamn screen is because you got some money in this. That's it. Just cost $5 million. We wouldn't show you shit. But yeah, I say you bring Bill Wickens back and have that motherfucker haunt like an old folks home, like a senior citizen home and shit like that. Like he can be like in the Boondocks, what's that, Stink Meaner and his crew and shit like that. They could be jacking people's medicine and shit like that. It's my Medicaid, bitch. You know, I think that'd be a good sequel to this film.
You believe us, don't you?
Sensing a presence?
I'm not sensing anything. All I can sense is their own fear. Doing this, you're going to die.